He needs no introduction. He's the former president and chief executive officer of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. He is also the author of a book, which I don't think is coming out until next month, but we'll ask him about it. Dream Job by Richard Petty. Hello, Mr. Petty. How are you?
Excellent.
When's the book out?
October 22nd.
All right. So I have an advanced copy in here.
I believe it's on the way to you guys.
I have it. I physically,
oh,
it's
have,
in my hand.
I think those are galleys, maybe bound galleys.
Yeah, it's a galley. It's not the... The book cover is terrific. They did it in foil. It's really going to jump off the shelf.
We hope so. Yes, you're very confident.
Yes, we hope so. Yes, absolutely.
What you do to your voice? Have you been yelling at something?
No, I just picked up a summer cold, which probably a third of the population has.
Well, we hope you feel better. A bunch of things to talk to you about. We'll get to the Brian Burke thing a little bit later on. There is a story out there about MLSE's interest in buying the Toronto Argonauts. Now, they've also attached NFL franchise to that, and we can deal with that separately if we want to, but did you kick those tires? I'm sure you kicked those tires while you were at MLSE, didn't you?
Yeah, we kicked those tires about three times. I had more negotiations with Howard Sosolowski, and thankfully we're still good friends to this day, but we really looked at it, and the last time was about 2 years ago, and you know, I just couldn't figure out a way for it to work, and you know, they're reigning Grey Cup champions, and they're still having trouble drawing fans. And so we looked at it and said, wow, I have an expression, long run for a short slide. And we thought we'd have to really work our ass off to not make hardly any money at all.
Explain one thing from your perspective, Richard, because you were around when it took place. You know, one of the impediments in terms of any kind of a business case for the Argos at BMO Field is that you got to pile tens of millions of dollars into BMO Field to convert it for Canadian football because it's not big enough. How did that happen? How did that become a soccer-only stadium from your point of view?
Well, yeah, I was very much there. Well, it's a long story, so bear with me here. You know, we'd looked at a whole bunch of locations. The provincial and federal government was committed to bringing the under-20 world football matches. Time was ticking. I had a lot of chats with then-Mayor David Miller and said, you got to jump in. We've got to do a deal. Our research says it clearly has to be. If we're going to put soccer into Toronto, clearly has to be the X. And so we got him to come in, and it was long negotiations. The clock was ticking. We were really worried about being ready. And so we did a deal that I think the capital cost was like $62 million, and all we could afford was to do what's built out there right now. When Howard heard that, he wanted to come in, but he wasn't quick with the money. And also I said, Howard, it's too late. If I spend another month negotiating with you, this is never going to get done. So we ended up building something that, especially with the addition of grass, is a wonderful football soccer pitch, but it's obviously too small for the CFL.
Well, the previous owners might suggest that that's not how they saw it exactly. They thought that this facility was deliberately enclosed to prevent them from being on that pitch, that this was designed as a soccer stadium only, and the way to keep the Argonauts out of there forever was to make the configuration closed on both ends so that you could not expand it.
No, that wasn't the case. I must admit, after the fact, I really like that it's a soccer-only facility. But at that time, we negotiated along with the Argos to go into Varsity Stadium. So we were not adverse in those days to teaming up with them. I think I've learned a lot about the avidity of soccer fans, that they really hate the idea of these larger field with, you know, all kinds of painting with logos on it and markers like you see in New England where the team plays in the New England Patriots Stadium. They hate that. So I did not have a negative bias in those days. So it wasn't a conspiracy. It money and time conspired against them when we were about to build.
One of the things that Mr. Brund has raised, and it's a valid point, and I talked to Brian Cooper about it earlier, is the ability for an MLSE to mitigate the costs of the Toronto Argonauts because of the existing infrastructure, that you can fold over a bunch of stadium people and ticket sales and marketing. And I mean, there are cost savings that can be incurred. But in the years and the many times I've looked at the economics of the Canadian Football League, and especially the Toronto Argonauts, I think I have a pretty good handle that that'd make a dent, but not enough of a dent to make it viable. Would Would you concur?
Yeah, Bob, I think you were involved. Weren't you involved in the, well, when they were going down to the States? Right, so you know what you're talking about. You know, we looked at it, and by putting all of the critical mass of marketing and selling and expertise that we had, we thought we could maybe make $1 million a year. And I put that in context to our board. I said, that's like me doing 4 concerts. The concerts are a piece of cake to do. I'm going to have to work my ass off to make $1 million. And it's tough in this city. I don't know whether it's the demographics of that sport. Is it playing at Rogers Center? Or is it this thing that's hanging over their head all the time called the NFL? But they have a tough go of it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the NFL, because, again, I was going to ask you if you could make a theoretical, even a theoretical business case for the Argonauts, but it doesn't sound like you could. So, but there are people in this city, you know, and we, Bob and I have been having this conversation for 20 years, and Bob's had it with other people longer than that, about, you know, is it coming, will it come, is there any scenario under which it gets here? Well, you know, one of the guys you used to work for, Larry Tannenbaum, certainly thinks it's going to work one of these days. He's been very interested in it. What do you know about the efforts over the years to try and bring an NFL team to the city?
Well, when Bob gets to the chapter in the book where I remind him we made a bet in 93 that we would we'd have an NFL team in 99, because I was working out in 93 when I was working for Labatt's and running Skydome. So I was really confident in those days. Then, you know, a whole bunch of franchises change spaces, and, you know, a team leaves Cleveland, and but the there's so much pressure, they have to put a team back in. Just no teams came available. So I've always thought in those days it was viable. And then about 2 years ago, we did a really deep dive into the financials of the NFL. And boy, what was an expensive proposition a decade ago is really expensive now. And again, you know, I had a job of growing enterprise value and making money. And I just couldn't figure out how to do it. With a franchise going to cost you over $1 billion. Building a stadium is going to cost you $600 million to $1 billion. So you've got $2 billion into it. It's tough to go. Now, it's a very profitable league, but it's still a tough go. But you're right. Larry would really like one. God bless him. And Tim Lewicki, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're out. Bob and I were just talking about this earlier. All of those numbers, you're right, you know, and they may be even be lowballing what it would cost.
You might be.
And, it's still a lot. Even the chance of getting one is incredibly slim, but there are people out there who think it's going to happen or are at least working in that direction in this city, and you just named 2 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but look, Richard is supporting the position that I've had for 40 years, that if you look at the economics of the situation – and maybe you could substantiate it in the early 1990s. I wouldn't have agreed with Richard then and didn't agree. And I didn't agree with Paul Godfrey in the late 1970s when he was still Metro chairman and tried to convince me on the beach in Florida that this was going to happen and it was imminent. The economics just don't add up.
But they apparently add up for the guys who'd be writing the check.
For who?
Well, again, I'm just talking about there. If there's people out there who, you know, understand those economics and apparently are still interested, they must think that it will add up. It doesn't matter if it adds up for you.
Yeah, but
it matters
how,
if it adds up for Larry Tannenbaum.
Well, let's ask Richard. I mean, how do they validate their interest in it, Richard?
Well, you can get a profitable profit loss statement. You can get that. I mean, when you're getting over $100 million for television rights, and a lot of it's a money making machine. The trouble is when you put all that capital investment against it. And below the operating line, and you're paying interest and amortization, wow, like it's, you know, we did return on investments, internal rate of return analysis. I mean, that's what you do in business to decide whether was it a good investment of your money. And boy, it was really thin. Not to say you couldn't make it. And listen, if you don't really want to make a lot of money and have a great time with arguably one of the best of a team in one of the best leagues in the world, then you go ahead and do it. But it's a risky, big-ticket proposition.
I guess all I'm saying, Richard, is, you know, if you went through and did all that stuff, you didn't talk Larry out of it.
Oh, no. Larry, I love working with Larry. He was a growth guy. I could go to him with growth ideas. He was always supportive. Sometimes I had to talk him off the edge, too. I mean, he really wanted to buy the Argos, and I tell that story in the book. And, you know, he's gung-ho and positive. He's a great city builder.
Do you see a scenario under which MLSC buys the Argonauts? And do you see, more importantly, let me ask you this question. If MLSE was even kicking the tires on the Argos, are they doing it in some way to put themselves in a better position for the NFL?
Well, so to answer your first question, I suppose I'm not close now. I mean, I've been gone almost 20 months, so I'm really out of it. I tell you, if I was CEO, I'd be really resisting it. I mean, I know I could have sold the board on it 2 years ago. I was at that board meeting. I gave them the four reasons why this was we shouldn't do it. And it was really me. I mean, some of my guys, we could have bought it for so little money that some of my team really wanted to do it. But so could they buy it? They might. Does it help them get an NFL team? I mean, that's been what everyone said, right? That the NFL doesn't want to hurt the CFL. So if you do a deal with the CFL to protect, with the Argos to protect them, ergo, that will help you attract the NFL. But, you know, where's the team going to come from? I mean, Buffalo is building, you know, adding to their stadium there. Their senator and governor will go crazy if, you know, you try to take a team out of Buffalo. It's a big political football to lose an NFL team in the States.
How do you sell Toronto to the National Football League? Understanding, I mean, I get it's the fourth largest market in North America. The relevance of that to the other 31 teams in the National Football League is about zero because it doesn't add an eyeball that's measurable in terms of their existing television contract, and it doesn't add a nickel in terms of advertising revenue, which is all generated by U.S. companies for the consumption of the fans in the 48 contiguous states and Hawaii and Alaska. How do you make the case to Tagliabue 20 years ago or to Goodell now, you should be in Toronto?
Well, you're right. The broadcast deals are what three different networks carry the broadcast deals. They're offering billions of dollars. Those won't go up. I mean, the NFL games are already on, I don't know, are they on TSN or whoever they're on up here?
Both.
Both
Sportsnet and TSN.
There's not a lot more money there. It's, you know, if it's an expansion, let's say it's $1.3 billion expansion fee divided by the number of teams. That's one attraction. That's how David Stern had to expand into Toronto, into Canada. He did not want to do it. And when we when Larry and I put in an application, and they started thinking of a franchise fee, it those days was over $100 million. All the other owners rubbed their hands in glee. So maybe that's it. But if you're transferring, it's really moving around the deck chairs of all of that money that's coming in already. So it is a tough sell.
Yeah. And you're essentially taking one, if you do that, you're essentially taking one market, even if it's a crummy one like Jacksonville, you're taking those eyeballs away and you're not replacing them with any other eyeballs.
Well, you're not taking them away. They're still going to watch. They're watching L.A., Bob.
Yeah, you're right. But I mean,
I don't think that's an issue. And you know what? They've always had international aspirations, you know, NFL Europe, games in Mexico and stuff. So just to be in another country's got some cachet, whether that's enough.
Listen, rest your voice. Good of you to join us in ill health, such as you are. And the book, Dream Job, will be released October 22nd. Are you going to come in and see us on the release?
Love to.
All right.
I'm already talking to my publicist.
All right, come on in.
Okay.
We'll give you a spot. Thanks, Richard.